Hello, my friends. I'm afraid that the taboo against anti-Semitism is gone. It's no longer impolite company to say something anti-Semitic. I think it used to be like if you were to say the N-word, people would never look at you the same way. You would discredit yourself in the public space. That's how anti-Semitism was, but not anymore. I'll make the case for that. But first, let me invite you to get a subscription to what we call Rebel News Plus. It's $8 a month. It's the video version of this podcast, and we need that $8 a month. That's how we pay our bills around here, because, of course, we don't take a dollar from Justin Trudeau, and it shows. That's rebelnewsplus.com. All right, here's today's podcast. Tonight, I'm afraid anti-Semitism is no longer taboo in Canada. It's March 20th, and this is the Ezra Levant Show.
Shame on you, you censorious thug.
You know, anti-Semitism used to be taboo. It was impolite. If you said something anti-Semitic, I think people looked at you and said, oh, you're that kind of a person. It was partly a memory from the Second World War, from the Holocaust, which, of course, every year we get further away from. And it was just sort of, an ethical standard, a polite company. It would be like no longer saying the N-word. The N-word, which may have been commonplace a century ago, you say that, it almost automatically disqualifies you for polite company. You say that once and people can't not remember it. Same thing, I think, is how it was with anti-Semitism. That's over now. I don't think the taboo against anti-Semitism is in effect, at least in certain segments of society. Take a look at this. This is Brian Mass. Massey, I'm not sure how you say his last name. He's an NDP member of parliament. Here's a clip of him the other day basically saying the anti-Semitism won't stop until Israel changes its direction, which implicitly says, well, the Jews have this coming. And anti-Semitism is justified because of what Israel is doing. So, sorry, guys, anti-Semitism, it's just going to be the way it is. That's how I interpret it. You listen and you tell me what you think. Take a look.
We've seen a rise of anti-Semitism in the past in this country as well. And I want to note that, Mr. Speaker, because I understand the pain and suffering because I've seen it in my own community long before even this, where swastikas are painted on sidewalks or in front of people's homes, and all that still exists in our society. And it's something we have to continue to fight against every single day. But we're not going to be able to fix anything right now until there's a ceasefire.
I see, of course, on social media, anti-Semitism is caused by the Jews. The Nazis had a phrase for that. They called it Selbsthass. They said that the Jews detest even themselves. It's justifiable. So that's going on in Parliament. In the meantime, one of the largest French language newspapers in Quebec, La Presse, publishes this cartoon of a blood-sucking vampire, Netanyahu, which was an old Nazi trope. I'm not for censorship, by the way. I think that's an odious cartoon. I don't think the press should have published it. But I'm not for prosecuting them for a hate crime, which is funny because I'm quite sure La Presse is all in favor of Bill C-63. Here's Pascal Saint-Onge, the heritage minister, who was asked about that cartoon. And she sort of says what that NDP MP says, which is, well, you know, that cartoon, it's not the right time to have that cartoon. Take a look at what she says.
Yeah, you see this cartoon, what do you make of it?
Well, as Heritage Minister, I'm going to be very prudent around the independence of the press. But what I am going to say is that, of course, you know, with everything happening right now in the Middle East and the tension that it's bringing in Canada as well, because communities are feeling this conflict very profoundly, that it's normal that there's critiques with such a cartoon.
Really? Okay, so the problem with that cartoon is not that it depicts Jews as bloodsuckers, but that it's just not the right time. And did you hear her say that she really cares about free speech and independence of the press? It's the first time I've ever heard a liberal talk about that. Maybe I can quote her back to her next time she bans Rebel News from something.
Well, as Heritage Minister, I'm going to be very prudent around the independence of the press.
Same day, I learn about this news from the Hamilton Playhouse. They had a Jewish festival, not an Israeli festival, but just a Jewish festival. And this was in the planning for months. And today it was canceled. They say security and safety concerns. Maybe. Or maybe anti-Semitism. Or maybe they just said, you know, we don't want to be associated with this. But let's take them at face value and say that they're not making this up as a cover story, that they really are terrified of violence. Well, that's what the police are for. That's what Hamilton police are for, to protect against anti-Semitic violence. But I guess Hamilton police are like Toronto police, or like York Regional police, or like the Mounted police, or like police everywhere in this country. They're basically being told to stand down and let the Hamas hate marches continue. And can you really blame the Hamilton police? Here's Matthew Green, the Hamilton Center member of parliament. He's dressing up as a Palestinian activist in parliament. He's wearing a costume. Take a listen.
Questions and comments? The honorable member for Hamilton Center.
Mr. Speaker, there's been lots of conversations in the House around trying to find balance. And in fact, the Conservatives' position has somehow tried to make this whole thing, all of the atrocities, all of the murders, all the deaths, as though it's solely Hamas's fault. So in asking for balance, not once have they acknowledged that the Hamas doesn't own F-16 fighter jets. Hamas doesn't own 2,000-pound bombs that have been dropped on civilian populations. Hamas didn't force people from the north to the south and then threaten to invade Rafah. Hamas didn't bomb schools and hospitals. So I would ask through you, Mr. Speaker, to the honorable member, in finding balance, in seeking balance from some of the ridiculous assertions from the Conservative caucus, could the honorable member please reflect on what the imbalance of power and the asymmetry of power and military might looks like in that region, and what the legacies of settler colonialism looks like here in this country.
Yeah, if that is the view of the leading citizens of Hamilton, you can see why the police don't want to protect those Jews. And, you know, so a Jewish film festival is disrupted or stopped before it even starts. All of these happened on the same day, all of the things I just listed. If you're having trouble figuring this out, just transpose. This is a good test for anything. Transpose the races here. Say instead of Jews, say we're talking about black people. And instead of Hamas hate marches, say we're talking about the Klan. Now, it's hard to do that, I know, because we've never really had that problem in Canada, well, ever in a significant way. These hate marches that we see are truly unprecedented in their scope and their scale and their intensity. I'm not saying that in Canada's long history we've never had an anti-Semitic or an anti-black or a racist moment. Of course we have, but not in the continuous way we've seen here, with the politicians and other community leaders just winking at it. Could you imagine if 100 Klansmen, and actually wearing the hoods, because a lot of these Hamas types, they wear masks, if they set up loudspeakers outside of a black church and were hurling invective and calling black people the worst names possible and saying, get out of here, go back to Africa, because that's what they're saying to the Jews. And could you imagine if in the face of that, the media would ignore those symbols like the Klan hood and would just say, oh, a peaceful protest. That's what they'd say about the Hamas hate marches. Can you imagine if political leaders dressed up in hoods in parliament to stand in solidarity with the Klan? This is not even a commentary on what's going on in the Middle East. I'm not talking about Israel versus Gaza right now. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about anti-Semitism in Canada directed at Canadians, blamed sometimes on what's going on in Israel. But really, what does a Jewish film festival have to do with Israel at all? These are Jews in Hamilton. Well, like I say, anti-Semitism, it's no longer taboo. I blame our leaders for that. I don't blame my neighbors. We're going to talk in a minute to Sue Ann Levy. And I know she's a Jewish woman who has lived in Canada her whole life, obviously. She's been with the Toronto Sun. My contention is that the taboo is gone in elite society, but ordinary Canadians, they don't like anti-Semitism one bit. Come right back. We'll have our talk with Sue Ann. Well, I learned a long time ago when I was a kid, actually, never speak poorly about someone else's city. They can, but you can't say, I agree, because people take it personally. Everyone likes to grouse about a problem they have in their city, but it would be like complaining about their own family. Let them do it. You just sort of nod along quietly. Don't chime in. That hurts people's feelings. And by the way, there is something lovely about every place on earth. Sometimes you just have to look a little bit harder for it. Now, I say this from the atrocious city of Toronto, the city that most Canadians, I think, if they had to pick a place that they hate, they would say Toronto. And these days, unfortunately, it's a place that a lot of Torontonians hate. Look at this video. I mean, I'm on TikTok, and I know I shouldn't be. But what I like about TikTok is that the kids, I think the kids are going to be okay. Let me show you a couple of videos recently from Toronto. Here's one that I saw just today of some young fella making fun of that Toronto policeman who said, hey, make it easier for home invasion robbers. Put your keys near the door so they grab them and go. Remember when the cop said that? Here's the cop.
There's also updated advice for all vehicle owners, a message echoed by Toronto Police speaking at an Etobicoke safety meeting last month. Constable Marco Ricciardi had a new message for vehicle owners who keep their fobs in Faraday pouches.
To prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your fobs at your front door. Because they're breaking into your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else. A lot of them that they're arresting have guns on them, and they're not toy guns, they're real guns. They're loaded.
Yeah, welcome to Toronto. Here's someone in Toronto trying to laugh about it on TikTok.
Hey, get in here. It's cold out. Come on, get in here. Thank you so much for choosing my car to take today. It's a privilege. I've got some sparkling water for you. I've got orange vanilla and mango pomegranate. It's cold out, so I've taken the liberty of turning the butt warmers on for you. Car's obviously been running, just waiting for you for your arrival. I've got the spare key and some pistachio chocolates. Before you head out, do you have any questions about the car? I don't want you to have any troubles while you're on the road. Okay, well, with that, take care. And enjoy my Honda Civic.
I could show you TikTok videos all day, but my point is there's a lot wrong with this city. Taxes, traffic, crime, out of control immigration, unemployment. There's so many terrible things about Toronto. And then overlaid on top of that for the last half a year has been a wave of anti-Semitism that I don't think anyone has ever seen in two generations. Toronto is in some ways the most Jewish city in Canada. About 200,000 Jews, including a lot of Orthodox and visibly Jewish people. It's a pretty Jewish-friendly place. And I've lived here as a Jew. That's not my central identity, I don't think. But it was sort of wonderful. You felt free and safe, as you did really everywhere in Canada, until recent days and weeks when pro-Hamas hate marches scream at synagogues, shout at children, shoot or throw Molotov cocktails at schools and synagogues. That happened in Montreal. Vandalized Jewish-owned restaurants and bookstores. And the police stay back, do nothing, sometimes even bring them coffee like this.
They left, no one told them they can't come back, otherwise he would have said, okay, I understand.
Okay, I'll just ask, just so.
I hate to say it, Toronto is becoming a dangerous place and an unsafe place, at least for Jews. It's how it feels. I don't want to be alarmist. I still feel like I can walk around safely, but I feel like these roaming mobs can get their way. And the people who are supposed to do something about it, they don't. Remember when there was sort of an 8-hour standoff outside a large Jewish synagogue north of Toronto in a city called Vaughan? Well, there's a specific section in the criminal code, section 176.2, that specifically forbids the disturbance of a religious ceremony or indeed any other social gathering. It is specifically criminalized in the criminal code. And yet police stood there all day, not issuing a single charge. I feel like the people who are supposed to be protecting us aren't. And here to talk about this with us is someone who has lived in Toronto for quite a while as a Jewish woman, and I'd like her observations on the matter. We're talking about our friend Sue Ann Levy, who works for True North. Sue Ann, great to see you again.
Great to see you, Ezra.
You know, I'm not going to pretend that I'm terrified to step outside my house. I'm not. But I know that in a city that, you know, was famous for its Jewish neighborhoods and its Italian neighborhoods and its Greek and Portuguese neighborhoods, all of which were fun and interesting and had delicious food, well, now there's hundreds of thousands of new Canadians from Muslim countries, many of whom have brought anti-Semitism with them to Canada. I find them terrifying, which is, I think, their goal. These hate marches really are scary.
They are. And, you know, I saw signs of it in 2021 when there was an insurrection, although brief, not like current one, in May of 2021. Do you remember on Nathan Phillips Square when a bunch of Muslim pro-Palestinian sympathizers chased some Jews out of Nathan Phillips Square and terrified them, surrounded cars filled with young Jewish ladies who I interviewed at the time when I was still working for The Sun. And so, you know, nobody reacted to that. Nobody dealt with it. And here we are, 2024, where, you know, Israel is finally pushing back from that brutal day in October. And the whole world seems to be against us, doesn't it, Ezra? Because I surely feel that way. And I know I'm not easily intimidated, not at all. You know that. But I know a lot of people in my own community who feel that everyone hates us, that it's unsafe to walk the streets of Toronto, some whatever major city in Canada or even in Europe.
I'm going to disagree with you only in one respect. You say you feel like everyone hates us. I don't feel that way. I feel like the majority, the great majority of Canadians are friendly to Jews, are welcoming to Jews, are understanding of Jews, and are shocked by what they see in the streets. When I look at these anti-Semitic hate marches in Canada, and also we visited some of them in London, England, I see that they're about 80 or 90% Pakistani or Bangladeshi mm-hmm. or Syrian or like newcomers here from other countries, mm-hmm. not old style Canadians, and some woke college radicals or old commies. I think the vast majority of what have been called old stock Canadians hate these hate marches. And by the way, a lot of new immigrants from other places hate them too. Chinese Canadians, Hindu Canadians, Sikh Canadians. I have never met a Sikh Canadian who loves these Hamas hate marches. So it feels like we're surrounded, but it's just because it's these activists and the police don't do a damn thing about it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I don't feel like the world hates us, but I think the loud minority has been allowed to get an upper hand. You're absolutely right. My mother even has a caregiver who's of Indian descent, East Indian descent, and she's gone to some of these pro-Israel rallies. It's unbelievable. Persians, the number of people who support us in Toronto and in Canada and are horrified by the abuses, by the inability of the cops to deal with it, whether they're intimidated or they've been told to stand down by the Trudeau Liberals and by our mayor, Olivia Chow, here in Toronto. You know, it's just people are horrified that this is not being dealt with and that, you know, our communities are being targeted. So with such vitriol and with such intimidating violence.
Yeah. You know, it's only one way. There are no hate marches outside Muslim mosques. There are no Muslim restaurants that are being vandalized with the pro-Israel point of view on this war. There aren't screaming mobs blocking. I mean, listen, there are always protesters where Justin Trudeau goes, but you don't see pro-Israel mobs blocking streets, threatening. You just don't. And yet, the response from officialdom, I mean, I'm holding in my hand here the Islamophobia Awareness Month or whatever, posters that the city of Toronto is putting up about women in hijabs not being welcome. Here's a tweet from Mayor Olivia Chow just a couple days ago. Today is the International Day to Combat Islamophobia. Our city has seen a rise in anti-Muslim hate in recent months. Hate in all its forms has no place here. On this day, let us redouble our efforts. Now, Islamophobia is a term that my late friend and your late friend, Tarek Fattah, said that is a term that captures people who are critics of the religion of Islam, reformists. Mm-hmm. And so he thought it was an overbroad term. But even if you use a slightly different word, people who are anti-Muslim, the mass of hate crimes in recent months has been against Jews. But to put up
overwhelmingly.
And by the way, you never see a leftist politician say, I'm worried about anti-Semitism without immediately tacking on and Islamophobia. But I've never seen the reverse. I've never seen a leftist politician talk about Islamophobia and then tack on, oh, and also we care about the Jews. I think in some ways I don't even think they respect Islam. I think they're just terrified by Islam. I'm talking about leftists like Mayor Olivia Chow.
They are terrified. And I think the police are terrified by the unruly mobs. I can't believe that they have allowed them to get out of control as they have and enabled them to continue to take over our streets, prey on our streets, P-R-A-Y, not E-Y, and walk up and down screaming for the eradication of the Jews. You talk to the average cop and they would say that this is ridiculous, it's out of control, but someone is telling them to stand down. Someone, I don't know whether it's the mayor or the police chief or all of the above, but Olivia Chow, you know, you bring up Olivia Chow and she just did an op-ed in one of the local newspapers, Toronto Star, talking about how her mother was starved and likening it to what's happening in Gaza. That woman doesn't even understand what's going on over there.
Sorry, go ahead.
The way she talks is like totally ignoring the fact that Hamas is holding back the food, that Hamas is stealing the food. I mean, no, Hamas has gotten off so easy in all of this. It just enrages me when I think of
it's astonishing. I mean, let me read the headline of that Olivia Chow. She's the mayor of Toronto. She says, my mother was a hungry child in a war zone. Mayor Olivia Chow on why the untold suffering in Gaza hits close to home for her and so many Canadians. I mean, I appreciate the fact that the mayor of Toronto, who is overseeing tax hikes, crime, traffic snarls, subway lines that are years out of date, she'd rather talk about foreign affairs than her real job. But in a city where you have constant hate marches, I haven't seen her lift a finger about those, but it's crazier than that. Yeah, I live in a riding called York Center. It's a fairly Jewish riding. And the member of parliament is a liberal who is actually also an Israeli, Yara Sachs. And she, the Jewish Israeli MP for York Center, is posing for photos with the PLO leader, Mahmoud Abbas, and voted for the NDP motion to condemn Israel and cut off arms sales to a democracy and to accuse Israel. Yara Sachs, a Jew in Toronto, sold out her own people. I don't understand. That's the weirdest part. I get why the Hamas, the Iranian or Turkish or Pakistani hate. I get why they hate the Jews. It's an ancient blood feud, whatever. But what's Yara Sachs's excuse?
Going along to get along. That's it. She wants to be part of the liberal team. It's disgusting. It's unprincipled. I could not believe that she voted. She was going to be trouble from the time she got elected because I could see that she was trying to play both sides of the fence. And that never works. You have to pick a side. You can't play both sides. Olivia Chow does the same thing. You know, the people who say, I'm worried about anti-Semitism, I should say, but I'm also worried about Islamophobia, which I might add is not occurring in this city. What you're seeing on the streets of Toronto is pure hate towards the Jews and not Zionists, Ezra. Remember, we're called Zionists because people think they can get around it and not be anti-Semitic by calling us Zionists. They don't hate the Jews, they just hate Zionists. 90% of Jews are Zionists in the diaspora.
Well, not just that, but when you target Jewish restaurants, Jewish schools, Jewish synagogues, yeah, exactly. You're sort of giving the game away. You know, I saw a poll, the Harvard-Harris poll in the United States. It shows 90% of Americans who are sort of grown-ups support Israel, but it's the youngest generation that's wobbly, it's about 50-50, and I ascribe that to the woke universities. I think the stats are similar in Canada. I haven't seen the exact same questions asked here. I use my eyes, though, and what I see on the streets of Toronto are paid provocateurs. Remember, Toronto has always had a rent-a-mob leftist Antifa group of thugs. I see they've just been weaponized on this one issue. I saw that when I was in London, England as well. Old Socialist Workers' Party leftists who, you know, were against the West. They were for the Soviets. They were against capitalism. This is just the next iteration in their war against the West. So I see some of that in Canada too, the anti-everything group, but it's been buttressed in numbers by immigrants to Canada from places where they hate Jews. And we do not screen people for qualitative things like, are you tolerant of other groups or are you when people come from countries that it's 90, 95% hate the Jews, where that's official cultural and government policy, they're not going to lose that hatred on a quick plane ride to Canada. And it's politically incorrect to say it, but we have brought anti-Semitism in here. Not every Muslim is anti-Semitic, of course. In fact, many refugees from those places have come here to be free. But there's a critical mass of Jew haters, and the politicians are A, afraid of it, and B, they're courting the vote. I think it's a perfect storm. It's very bad times.
Yeah, and they refuse to assimilate. And don't you just love the queers for Palestine?
Oh, my God.
The gay, trans, and gay, homosexual. It's mostly male gays, but there are a lot of dykes. And I'm going to say dykes because they are stupid dykes who support.
And you say that as a member of the LGBT community.
Yeah. Well, yes, exactly. But I'm not a stupid dyke, and I'm not a dyke. But, you know. Tats and they and green hair and purple hair, the purple haired girls, as one comedian in New York says, and they're so disconnected from reality. They support the Palestinians, they support the Gazans, but if they were to go over there, they'd be thrown off a roof. They'd be tortured for being homosexual.
Well, Dr. James Lindsay points out that queerness, sometimes it can be used in a sexual way, but it also means just sort of an anti-establishment way, any queerness, yeah. any way to undermine the West. And so I think that's the common ground. I don't think these queers for Palestine actually want to go over there. They just say, oh, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. These folks from Hamas hate the system. I'm on their team. I think I don't think it's any deeper than that.
Well, perhaps, but I mean, we've seen openly at some of these, you know, the trans marches and when they were marching against transphobia, that some of those people came out and, you know, denounced transsexualism and, you know, gender identity. So, I mean, I think they just have blinders on. They have a willful hatred of the Jews and they're willfully denying what they stand for.
Well, you know what? I think that Jews in Canada have had a golden age until October 7th. There was nothing in life we could not do in this country. We could feel safe. Our schools did not need security guards or heavy duty, you know, surveillance cameras. I grew up west of Calgary in the countryside where we were really the only Jewish family for miles around. Not only did I feel safe, I felt loved by the wider community. I feel like we have imported our own demise, and I see no help from the premier, from the mayor, from the prime minister. I see some help from the Toronto Sun and the National Post to speak back, but those are, you know, more people get their news from TikTok or Instagram than get it from print newspapers. I think we have to get rid of Justin Trudeau and put in a more sensible man like Pierre Poilievre. I think he's stronger on this issue. But I think so many of our institutions have absolutely been conquered by the woke left that has decided that they didn't really like the Jews that much. And they look around and count noses and they're on the sides of Hamas. I don't know. I'm sort of depressed. I want Canada to be safe and free and peaceful again. And I don't want these hate marches outside synagogues every bloody weekend. Can I please have my country back? Last word to you, Sue Ann.
Well, until we get rid of the woke idealism in universities, the mainstream media has been a problem too. They just repeat, you know, the propaganda. I mean, we have so much to clean out, but I think a good start is getting rid of Trudeau. I mean, I'm so disgusted with the Liberal caucus. And let me tell you, a lot of Jews in Toronto in particular supported the Liberals. So, you know, they've got to look at themselves as well. Yeah.
Let me throw in one last question because you've made me think of that. Here's Anthony Housefather. Now, he's not from Toronto. He's from Montreal. He's from a very safe Liberal riding, and he's been a fairly successful politician. But he, well, I'll let him say it, he says he's very disturbed by what he saw in his own Liberal Party, and he's reconsidering his options. Here, take a look at this video clip.
Is this the first time you're actually kind of reflecting on your role within this party? I mean, this has been going on for a number of months now. There's been tensions in Canada, rising anti-Semitism. You've seen your government struggle to sometimes or you know, come up with a position that satisfies everybody, and you've kind of been at the forefront of this. But is this the first time you're actually kind of reflecting on your future here?
I think it's the first time in my parliamentary career that I've had a reflection like this, where I truly felt last night that a line had been crossed. When my party members got up and cheered and gave a standing ovation to Heather McPherson and the NDP, I started reflecting as to whether or not I belonged. And I will let you know further how I feel over the coming days. For the moment, I'm still there.
Well, I mean, he's having his sort of Hamlet moment where he's, you know, oh, I'm thinking, I'm deeply disturbed, let me think. Well, you've had a lot of time to think about it, buddy. I don't know, maybe he's just, maybe that's why he's sort of advertising to Trudeau that he wants some sort of negotiation or something. I mean, I think a principled man would have left by now, but it's not his father's Liberal Party anymore. I mean, the chief fundraiser for the Liberals is a Jewish guy from Montreal. I got to think, at what point do they say, I am supporting an anti-Semitic party? What do you think is going to happen to Anthony Housefather? Do you think he's going to quit?
I think if he had a spine, he would. I mean, look at Kevin Wong.
Right.
I mean, I wasn't too thrilled with him, but he left and became an independent. And he's been one of the strongest advocates for the Jews. I'm very impressed by what. So Anthony should take a page from Kevin Wong's book.
Yeah. You know, you and I are both Jewish. We live in Toronto. But I think that, you know, we're secular. We're integrated. We work in the world. And I would like to think that both you and I would be having this same conversation if suddenly there was a shocking tsunami of hatred towards Blacks or towards Sikhs or towards another group. And I think we would. I think we would stand up. It's odd to have to stand up for yourself. So much of what both you and I do is standing up for other people in our journalism. It's just shocking and demoralizing that we're the ones being targeted. But
the big difference, Ezra, is that politicians and the institutions would stand up for these other groups. We don't have that. We do not have that.
Which is shocking because we, I think, always thought we did. Well, thanks for your time, Sue Ann. Great to see
you're
you again.
Welcome.
Sue Ann Levy. She writes for TrueNorth.news, TNC.news. Stay with us. More ahead. Well, that's our show for today. Until tomorrow, on behalf of all of us here at Rebel World Headquarters, to you at home, good night, and keep fighting for freedom.